I did something in my classroom this week that got 100% of students to be quiet. It got 100% of students to have a smile on their face, and it created 100% attendance the very next day. And what if I told you this exact same idea, the thing that I did, took 20 seconds to implement, it cost absolutely nothing, and you could try it with any age group of students. This is not a gimmick. You are not going to have to go buy some sort of resource or random item at the $1.25 tree, because this idea is literally the most basic form of relationship building that changes everything. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know how I love to dish out relationship building strategies that are great for staff and for students. And this one, I'm telling you, it's going to crush with your students. Now, before we get into the episode, I want to give a shout out to the listener of the week who left a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast platform. They said 5 stars, must listen for every teacher. The listener of the week said, if you are a teacher trying to improve student relationships and engage all students, this podcast is a must. I can tell you, I don't usually listen to podcasts, but every time I listen to one of Monica's episodes, I seriously ask myself, why have I wasted time looking elsewhere for engaging classroom ideas? She is an amazing source for classroom ideas that are absolutely brilliant and so easy. My students have loved everything I have tried from her episodes and books, and I'm looking forward to hopefully join her in PD trainings in the future. Thank you, Monica, for helping me become a better educator. Holy cow. Thank you so much for that written review and that reflection that truly I feel like came from your heart. I love teaching students and I love helping to support fellow teachers like you who are here listening every single week. This podcast is so much fun to create, and one of the top reasons why is because you guys are taking these ideas and you're putting in the work and you're trying them and you are finding successes in spite of all of the struggles that happen in education. So if you haven't left a written review, will you just do me a quick favor? Will you hit pause? Even if you're like, oh, well, I've always been wanting to write a review, or I've been meaning to write a review, hit pause, do it very quickly, or reach out and I will send you the steps. But literally the number one way to show appreciation for this free podcast is by leaving a written review, because it shows other educators the algorithm of finding this podcast. And in this crazy world of the internet, sometimes it can be hard to find exactly what we are looking for. So thank you in advance for taking just a couple of minutes of our precious teacher time to write a written review. It truly means so much to me. Now, if you are ready for a simple strategic idea to help create awesome relationships in your classroom, then let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. I was recently talking to some teacher friends about things that they are struggling with, or maybe they just simply can't find the time for, things that they know that they need to do or they know that they should do, but in the to-do list of today's teachers, it just never gets crossed off because you have to find some balance in life. And one of them very transparently said, like, I know I need to do a better job of making attendance phone calls. Like, if a student is gone on multiple days, I know I need to pick up the phone more often. But oftentimes, those phone calls end up taking way too long, or those phone calls derail, or honestly, the person who answers the phone is downright disrespectful, so I don't feel very motivated to make the call. And I hear you. In fact, I've got a really interesting episode that I released last year, last season of this podcast, about how to make easier, more strategic phone calls. In fact, I'll go ahead and link that episode in the show notes at the end. But we as teachers understand that attendance has changed a lot over the past few years. And we can be upset about it and blame it on culture or COVID or our community, or we can say, what can I actually do to make this better? And I need you to know that this remix takes so much pressure off you, and it creates a whole lot of smiles for your students. But it is part of a process. I love a process. I love a systematic approach to solving problems. And so what I want to do is share my incredibly simple 3-step approach to making sure attendance is better in my own classroom. And then what I'm going to do in future episodes is give the strategic process on how to boost attendance school-wide. My elementary school is currently doing something that has boosted attendance a bunch, and I'm going to actually turn it into a mini series because the results have been incredible and I think it could benefit your school. But in this episode, what we're going to do is focus on one classroom setting at a time. So here's my process. When I am taking attendance for my daily classes, what I will do is I will just take a strong mental note if one student is absent, okay? If a student is absent for one day, I'm like, okay, could be, you know, just kind of a sore throat, could be, oh, they had a doctor's appointment. It could be a number of things. It could just be that they're sick of school, but they're gonna come back tomorrow. So I just become very aware when I'm taking attendance of, oh, that kid is absent. I just kind of put a pin in that person and say, I'm going to double check on that data tomorrow. So that's step one. Super simple, right? You probably already do that. When you are taking class period attendance or daily attendance in an elementary building, you're aware of who's gone, okay? So step one is just heighten that awareness. But let's say the next day that student is absent again. That is the trigger for me. Step two of this, if they have been gone for 2 days, what I'm going to do is I'm going to personally reach out. And I know that some of you are like, if I personally reached out every time a kid has been gone twice, listen, I know that it takes a lot of time and I know that that takes a lot of effort, but the reach out can be a few different ways. I think the reach out should be in whatever is going to maximize the communication attempt. What I mean by that is if your school already has something like the Band app, that's something that my school district uses, an app where you already have all of the adults of your students linked together, then if that's something that has become the norm in your classroom, reach out on that second day of an absence in the Band app if that's a system that already works. If you have email feeds that work really, really well, like you have a Gmail of every single adult, the email address of every single adult of your students, and they know to expect emails from you, send an email. If you are the type of person who's like, nope, I'm just going to make a phone call, me too, okay, pick up the phone and make a quick phone call. And if you're like, I hate phone calls, remember, I'm going to link an episode that I've done in the past. It was one of the most listened to episodes last season. So you can kind of de-stress yourself when you're making phone calls. But step two in this process is you personally reach out via a notification on a district approved app, via communication on email, via picking up the phone. How are you personally reaching out to the student? Now, this is where the system kind of diverges a little bit, okay? If you teach elementary, that is you reaching out to the adult, okay? If you teach first, second, third, fourth, I would say even up to like fifth grade, you are reaching out to the trusted adult in that kid's life. But here's where it goes in a different direction. If you teach sixth, seventh, eighth, or high school, I actually think that reach out should be to both the adult in that child's life and the kid. So if a student is absent on the second day, yes, I'm calling home, but I'm also following up with an email or a Google Classroom message to that kid so that they know that I'm thinking about them. Checking in and saying, hey, what can I do to support you? Literally, that is the most powerful communication sentence that I give when a student is absent. So I want to say that again. I will reach out to that student and say, hey, just wanted to let you know that we have missed you in class. I hope that you are feeling better. Next paragraph. What can I do to best support you so that when you return to class, you are not feeling super stressed? Next paragraph. Really looking forward to hearing back. Then I sign my name. So I'm sending an Oreo email to that kid who is not in class in order to hopefully build that connection, foster that relationship, let them know that I am thinking of them. Because we understand that teacher time is so valuable, but I think kids understand that time is valuable as well. So please note, if they email you back, if they respond to your email, you are already winning as an educator because they didn't blow you off. They didn't click delete. They didn't say screw you. They emailed you back. Even if there's a bunch of misspelled words and maybe not proper grammar, they took time out of their busy schedule as a child to email you back. And I think that's a huge win. I think that's an indicator of great relationships. So step one, heightened awareness. Step two, you as the educator sending out personalized communication. Step three, if the student has been absent 3 days in a row, this is where we bust out the big strategy. This is where we say, okay, I got something special in my back pocket and we are ready to get that kid back in class. What is that idea? Well, we're gonna get into it here in a second. But before we do that, I want to let you know that it's the absolute last call to get enrolled in the 180 Days of Awesome Relationships course, which is a brand new course that launched for the first time in March 2025. This course is based off of my newest book called 180 Days of Awesome Relationships, which is about 180 little tips, tricks, stories, and strategies on how you can boost the relationships of both students and staff in your classroom and in your school. This 21-day virtual course is filled with tons of ideas, live events to get your specific questions answered. It's in a fun, flexible virtual environment, and you can earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credit. But this is the last call because the course begins in March, and I want to make sure that you reserve your seat. You can go to monicagenta.com/courses. That's www.monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up. I am incredibly excited to lead this course for the very first time because I am confident that it will lead you down the path of even stronger relationships with staff and students, including those difficult, hard to reach student and staff members. I am just so pumped to celebrate awesome relationships with you during the month of March. Check out the show notes to get signed up or visit monicagenta.com/courses to build 180 days of awesome relationships. So what is step three in this simple communication process? It is students calling the absent student. That's correct, friends. That is correct. It's students calling the absent kid. We have already had communication on day two. It didn't work, okay? Or maybe it did work, but it wasn't enough. Or maybe, gosh darn it, this kiddo is just really, really sick. And they are struggling. And they need some positivity in their life from their peers. Oftentimes, a lot of kids are sick of being at school. And a lot of times, kids are sick and they wish they were at school. And this strategy says, listen, let's create some communication, some positive culture and community in the classroom by saying our students are going to call the absent student. And there's a few really powerful ways on how you can do this. Step one, if you teach elementary school, is you gather all of your children around your desk and you get on that corded phone that's in your classroom and you dial up the adults and you say to them, hey, I am calling, but the class really wants to talk. Is the student available? And so that adult is going to go find that kid or maybe even give them a nudge if they're napping or get them off the couch because they're watching The Price is Right because it's 10 a.m., right? So that adult is going to create the communication and say, we got a bunch of kids who are excited to talk with your child. We miss your child. We wanted to just give them a smile. We wanted to get them cheered up. We want to let them know that we are thinking of them. And that is how you can do it in an elementary school. You are calling via your classroom phone and having all of your kids surrounding your desk. I promise you, it's the most heartwarming thing to see the kids' faces when their classmate comes to the phone. They don't expect it. And I love that. I think one of the greatest tools that we have as teachers is to touch the hearts and the heads of kids in unexpected ways. And a phone call from friends when you have a fever is absolutely one of the most powerful, simple ways that we can do that. But there's a slightly different strategy that works really, really well if you have older students. So if you have, I would say, sixth grade through high school, then you're not doing this on the school phone. Okay, because at that age, that's where we start to see an increase in students having cell phones. Okay, students in the building have cell phones. Students at home have their cell phones. And if you have cell phone pouches or something like that, something where basically you lock down your cell phones during the school day, I love it. I support it. But this is the perfect opportunity to get one of the classmates in your classroom of the absent student, get their cell phone unlocked out of the pouch, go have that kid who's got the absent student's number stored in their phone, have them go get their personal cell phone out of their locker with your permission, correct? Like you've given them permission and you've asked if this is okay, because what's about to go down is one of the kids from your class is going to call from their phone because it's going to come up as their best friend's name. It's going to come up as, you know, one of their peers' names. And so they are more likely to answer. High school students and middle school students are more likely to answer the phone when it says their friend's name versus the school's number, which is often blocked or pops up as spam, or maybe they've just blocked the number on their own because they're like, I don't want to talk to the school. But the pickup rate when students call students with your permission and their permission from their devices is nearly 100%. I'm telling you, seriously. In fact, it happened literally this week in my classroom. It happened Monday, the kid was absent. Tuesday, reached out to the student via email. Wednesday, student not there. So it was officially time to complete this flowchart that I have created for myself. And I asked, hey, does anybody have this kid's cell phone number? I don't want it. I don't want to know the number. You don't have to share the number with me. But does anybody have that stored in their phone? And a number of kids were like, yeah, why? And I'm like, because we're about to make a phone call And this phone call is not an ordinary phone call. It is a game show phone call. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, first, we got to get this kid on the phone. All right. So a number of kids raised their hand and said, yes, I have the kid. And I'm like, I'm giving you permission to go grab your cell phone if it is also okay with you if we make one phone call on speakerphone in the classroom. And the kid's like, yeah, that's fine. I'm like, okay, go get it. So the kid goes and gets the cell phone. And then I announce how we are going to do this. I said, first of all, we're going to ask how the student's doing. We're going to check in on the student, make sure they're doing okay. And then to cheer this student up, we're going to play a little game. And the game is really simple. One of you is going to get selected at random to say hi and then the student's name. Okay, so let's say that the kid's name was Katie. One of you at random is going to be selected and you're going to say, hi, Katie, in your normal voice. Okay, and Katie has to hear that and make a prediction on which classmate that was without seeing your face. This is not a FaceTime. This is just an audio thing. And if Katie can correctly identify the voice of the mystery student in the classroom, then Katie is going to earn candy for the entire class. And then when Katie gets back, Katie gets the piece of candy. So it's like a little game show. In fact, this is something that I've been doing for years, but this is kind of trending on TikTok right now. Not in this way, but you've maybe seen these videos where the whole family, it's like a family reunion, and the whole family lines up behind grandma. Grandma can't see who is behind her, and they each say, hi, grandma. And it's like, well, that's my granddaughter, Rebecca. If you've never seen these, it's kind of the same concept. The kid has no idea which classmate is saying it, but they just have to say in their voice, hi, Katie, to see, hey, can Katie figure out who it is? All right, so we call this student, we check in, I ask, hey, what can I do to support you? The kids in the background, I do let them talk. Like the kids who are in the class on this speaker phone call in the classroom, I do let them talk because this is part of the strategy. They're like, dude, come back. We miss you. Hey, are you okay? Dude, you left me on red on Snapchat last night. What's going on? And all of a sudden, there's this classroom camaraderie, which is proof of relationship. It's proof of connection. And I actually don't really shut it down because this is what I need. I need this kid, if they are sick, to feel better. I need this kid, if they're sick, of coming to school to see that they're missed and they're loved and we want you back and, you know, be a part of this classroom family with us in person tomorrow. And so once some of those like pleasantries are exchanged and there's a little bit of like back and forth with the students, I randomly draw a popsicle stick. I do not say the contestant's name out loud, but I show the class whose name it is, and that kid gets one chance to say hi. In this case, it would be Katie or whatever the absent student's name is. And then the kid has to guess. Well, this week, the kid guessed and immediately got it right. There was no hesitation. There was no, I'm not sure. The kid was like, definitely, that's who it is. And the class was like, yeah! Because that kid, that absent student, just won candy on behalf of the entire class. They did that. An absent student created an awesome moment for every single classmate. Then guess what happened? Day 4 of the week, that student was back in class. It worked exactly as systems are supposed to work. On Monday, notice they were absent. Oh, I'm going to keep my eye on that. Day 2, oh, they're absent again. I need to send some communication as the teacher. Absent the third day, oh, I want to get the students involved. I want to make sure that this kid knows that they're loved. Next day, back. It's so simple, it's so strategic, but it's also so special. And it goes back to something that is honestly kind of stressful. Absent students stresses us out because it puts our plans behind. It puts our flow behind. It creates this gap of like, well, these students are on this part of the lesson or this part of the project. I understand that taking time out to follow these three simple steps does take time out of our teacher day and our teacher routine. But I would also argue that when we have really good routines to combat stresses, those routines develop great relationships. And so that's the final question that I want to ask you. Would you want to increase relationships in your classroom just a little bit? Knowing that those relationships could boost attendance, could boost classroom camaraderie, could boost smiles in school, could boost success in schools. I think the answer to that is yes. And so I am hoping that this episode has been just one of those really simple things that you can start doing with your students and in your school. And if you are looking for more strategic ideas like this that don't take a lot of time, don't take a lot of energy, don't take a lot of prep or resources, then as a reminder, it's the last call for the 180 Days of Awesome Relationships course that begins in March. But there are still spots left and there is still time left to get signed up. I would love to have you. Check out monicagenta.com/courses, or there's a direct link in the show notes. You guys, I want to thank you so much for building awesome relationships with your staff and students. I want to thank you for subscribing to this podcast so you get the newest episodes that are released every single Sunday night, so you're ready for your Monday morning commute. But most importantly, I want to thank you for living this teacher life.